Got in a hurry. All right. It's good to, well, halfway see you. July 17th, I had a stroke in his left eye, and I'm blind in that, and y'all got me crying in the right eye, so I'm having a blurry good time here right now. So, thank you, preacher. I don't know what to say about that. I just, I'm overwhelmed. And, a lot of memories in those pictures. Next time you do that for a guy, let him preach first and then do something like that. That'd be a whole lot easier. Oh, glad to have, good to see Brother Harold and Ms. Rochester and the family. I love this family. They, February next year, a couple months, that family and my family and I think three others started Open Door Baptist Church in Gabby, the first independent Baptist church in Cherokee County, 1970. That's been a long time ago. And then on the, not too long after that, I was sitting in the weight room for Becky to come along. Now, that's back when men were real men. We sit in the father's waiting room, you know, and smoke cigars and stuff like that. You know, we were real men back in those days. So Becky came along. And, boy, we've had a lot of good times. I was, that's one of the great, by the way, that's one of the greatest families I know. It really is. And you didn't see all, he got an older son, Brady, and his family out preaching and singing. He got another son, Brady, and his family out singing and playing. They can play everything, as y'all know. And, so then this family and Scott preaches and Becky preaches. No, she don't preach anything. Scott, and just a great family. And I thank the Lord for them. And Ms. Rochester, my wife, are dear friends. And Becky and my baby daughter, Karen, are good friends. And so we live about 8 miles apart. We see one another about once a year, every 2 years, something like that. They're gone, I'm gone. And but I love them, and I appreciate them so much. It's good to have my good friend, Brother Gary Gibson. He's like a son, only bald-headed son I have, but he's my son, and we talk, I guess, about every day of our life, about every day. You don't have many friends like that, and I appreciate Brother Gary. And your pastor and his family, his dad is such a great man of God, and we talk, and I preach for him. Every now and then, I haven't seen him in 15, 20 years either, but I preach for him. And he's gone, and I go preach for him. And I know his grandpa, his grandma, and great people. And I love this family. And his wife, I know her dad and family. And sorry about that, but I know Hank. And is he here today? He's not here today. Used to play golf with Hank, and you saw a picture of Eddie Goddard on there. If you know Eddie Goddard, we'd go down and play with her dad and her brother. And so we've had a good time, and I've had a good time. This clock says 12:42. Is that 11:42? 11:42, okay. I want you to turn your Bibles, Luke chapter 19. Thank you, preacher. I'm overwhelmed. I really am. I appreciate this. Don't deserve anything like this, but appreciate the Bible and what you got here. And Brother Gary is not going to get any of that. I can tell you that right now. Not a bite. Thank you so much. Originally was planning I was going to be here at 8:30, so I'd worked on a message for 8:30. And then this service, and your pastor was gracious and texted me and told me I didn't need to come that early. So I had two messages then. I didn't know which one to preach, so I finally got settled on the one I originally planned to preach instead of at 11 o'clock, so that's what I'm going to preach. Luke chapter 19. Is that 11:43? Is that what it is? Okay. All right. All right. You got your Bibles? Good. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was passed that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest of the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods that I give to the poor, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you haven't already, you might want to mark that verse in your Bible. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I'm thankful today for the Lord Jesus, and I'm thankful for what He's done for me. And I just pray, Lord, You'll bless her today. I pray for the pastor and his family. You'll bless them in a special way, and Brother Harold and his family and all that are here. And I pray, Lord, especially that one that's come today and does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray this will be the good day when they'll come and trust Him as their very own. So please help me to bring the message You laid on my heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give Zacchaeus a nickname in just a moment. I remember I've given folks nicknames down through the years. If any of y'all got a nickname, some of you got nicknames. I had a lady in my church. I started calling her Sunshine. And she just always shined. I called her Sunshine. I nicknamed her that. Had a little girl in my church. I named her Trouble. You can figure that out. And then I had a one in my church called her Monkey. You can probably figure that one out too. And then sometimes a person's name, they'll call them Slim or Chubby or something like that. We have a guy in Gaffney, he's got a record service, and it's Turkey Record Service. Now, I don't think his name's Turkey, but everybody calls him Turkey. And then I've heard the name Hambone for a couple of guys in Gaffney, the name Hambone, nicknames. And then I heard one other day, just recently, I've never heard this in my life, this guy's name is Dump Truck. I think he must have a big trunk on. I don't know what it is. He is a big dump truck. There was the church I got saved. I got saved December 23rd, 1962. That's a long time ago. And I got saved in the church out over in Blacksburg. And there was a family there. The Martin family was in the church. And they had 8 kids. And they all had nicknames. But I don't know how I still remember, but I can still remember every one of those kids' nicknames. Johnny Moe, Herb and Doc, Dobber Bet, Peeler Pop, Fat and Slim. They were twins. I don't know how I remember that, Scott, but I remember that. They all had nicknames. So names are funny to me. And so I was going to Tennessee Temple, as you noticed on that one of those slides there. I went to Tennessee Temple, and when I was there, I worked in a bank in the afternoon after I got out of school. And there's a guy with cash in bonds all the time. His name was Harry E. Legs. I know a preacher, his last name was Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. He named his daughter Day-N. Day-N Knight, you know. Names are interesting. I had a lady in my church one time, her last name was Head. You know what that girl did? She went and married a Moorhead. I'm serious, just serious as a heart attack. So people have names, but Zacchaeus, I want to give him a name where you remember my message today. Let's call him Shorty just for the day, okay? Here's a little guy, so I'm going to nickname him Shorty. And I want to tell you about Shorty today, okay? Let me tell you about it. Shorty got saved. Shorty got saved. And God saves little short people. God saves big fat people, not calling his name. God will save when you're gray-headed or when you have no hair, or He'll save when you're young, you're old. It doesn't matter. God loves people, and Jesus died for everyone, and everyone be saved. And I remember I gave my testimony right after I got saved, and a girl said, I tell you what, if Lewis Blaston gets saved, anybody gets saved. And so she knew something about me, so she was exactly right. If I can get saved, anybody gets saved. I'm glad God didn't make it so complicated. I'm glad it's simple. I'm glad if you trust Him, you can be saved. I had a little girl in my church. She was a dwarf. And she was about that high. Her name was Nicole. Y'all know her, Nicole. And Nicole, I got her to be my secretary at the church for a while. And midgets, I mean, dwarfs don't like to be called midgets. Y'all know that, right? I'm just kind of educating a little bit while I'm here. You know, I'm going to give you a little education. Don't call a dwarf a midget. They get mad at you. They get offended. But anyway, she walked in my office one day. She was about up top of my desk. She said, "Preacher," she smiled, big eyes. I said, "What?" Nicole. She said, "I bet you I'm the best midget you've ever had for a secretary." I said, "You got that right, girl." People, it doesn't matter, and I'm going to say a little bit more about her in a minute, but she, it doesn't matter where you're a midget or you're a dwarf or you, whatever you are, aren't you glad God loves you? Aren't you glad Jesus died for you and you can be saved? And by the way, your family can get saved too. And we need to get our family saved. You want to get your family saved, get people saved. And one of the problems we have, and I'm a preacher, and I've been, Brother Steve said, I've been preaching a long time. And I've been saved a long time. But you know what we have a tendency to do sometimes? We kind of forget people are still lost. We just think everything's going to be all right. Listen, we got to get concerned about people dying and going to hell. People will go to hell. I still believe the Bible, don't you? I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I believe with all my heart. Listen, I'm not, you know, I'm still an old-fashioned Bible-believing preacher. I believe this book, don't you? And if you believe it, you got to believe in that. And I'm glad about heaven. I'm glad my wife of 41 years, I'm glad she's in heaven today and I'll see her again. And I said to Brother Gary coming over here, I was thinking about all my family that have died. And most, all of my mom and dad's side, all of them are gone. A preacher friends are gone. People have died. My good friend Eddie Goddard, Bill Burr, Frank Pittman, Richard Rawls, Bob Garrett, a lot of these great men I've known, they've gone on to heaven. And there is a heaven. I'm going there one day. And I want you to go there. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. Go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. Now, little Zacchaeus, little Shorty. I've nicknamed him that. I'll give you three or four things. Number one, about Shorty, he had an opportunity and he accepted it. He had an opportunity and he accepted it. In verse 2 it says, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little stature. It was a big crowd. He couldn't get to him. But he had this opportunity, and he accepted it." Let me give you three things about opportunity. Number one, they don't last forever. One of the hardest things for me to get in my mind sometimes at this stage of my life, that I am already 78 years old. I feel like I should still be like that black-headed guy you saw on there years ago. I've got three kids, eight grandkids, three great-grandkids, and nothing on the way. I've gotten old. And time doesn't last forever. You don't have long to do what you're going to do. The way I live my life, and I told Brother Gary sitting out there in the car this morning before we came in, I said, I have peace in my life. I have real peace in my life. I'm content with my life. I know where I'm going. And I want others to go there, and I want you to go there. And I want you to have what I have. And I have that peace and joy in my heart, knowing if I were to die today, I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God. Now, you say, "Preacher, we're church. Hey, this is church. We're all saved people." Now, I don't believe that. There's no way in this world I believe everyone in this room this morning is saved. Now, I just don't believe that. If I believed that, I wouldn't be preaching this kind of message today. I'll be honest with you. And the reason I don't believe it is because this, even my wife, we were married 4 years. She is a professing Christian before she ever really got saved. You've got to be born again. We had a lady saved last Sunday. She left our church. She got to her, I think, went out to a store somewhere. I sat in the parking lot. She told her husband, she said, "There's something not right about me. God's dealing with me." She got saved in her car in front of a Mighty Dollar store somewhere. And then she called me and told me, put it on Facebook, "I got saved today." You got to get saved. It doesn't matter who you are. Make sure you're saved. Examine yourself, see whether or not you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Make sure you're saved. Are you satisfied with what you've done? Are you satisfied? If you were to die, you'd go to heaven today. Listen, if not, you need to get settled today. Listen, I submit to you today that opportunity don't last forever. Opportunity swiftly passes away. Now, I know some of you won't think this, but I'll get through pretty quick. It swiftly passed away. This service has swiftly passed away. And I'm going to tell you something else. And we'll give an invitation. And we'll invite you to come to Christ and trust Him and get saved here today. But you might not do it. But you won't ever have this opportunity again. You see, opportunities, they don't last. They'll never return. You'll never have another situation just like you've had today. It's going to be a little bit different. You might try to replace it and all that, but it'll never be a certain day like this day, December 1st, 2019, at 11 something, almost 12 o'clock, at Bible Baptist Church, and old gray-headed guys comes in there and tell you you're to get saved. You'll never have exactly this situation again in your life. It will never be returned. As a matter of fact, I may be preaching my very last message, and I know that. And by the way, you may be listening to the last message you'll ever hear, and I know that also. And since that be true, we better think about some things here just for a minute. This man, little Shorty I called him, he had an opportunity and he accepted. Number two, he had opposition and he overcame it. He had two problems. Number one, he was rich. Look with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I want to read you two or three verses here. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 23, and Jesus looked round about and said to the disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his word, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." He had a problem. He was rich. Rich people want to trust their riches to get them what they want, but riches won't get you into heaven. He was rich, and he was short, as I said. He was a small man. The Bible says there in verse number 2 or 3, he was little of stature. He was a short guy. I called him Shorty. The little dwarf girl I was talking about a while ago, I looked up her obituary. Aren't you glad for Google? You can find everything. And I looked up her obituary. I didn't realize I preached her funeral. But I didn't realize it had been 4 years she'd been gone. She's only 31 years of age. And they'd written in her obituary this. She was a strong will, as she was, God-fearing woman who was never defeated in life. And she had that little dwarf, probably had 30 or 40 surgeries, major surgeries in her life. She lived life to the fullest with her electric personality and was a trained martial artist earning a black belt. Little Shorty. By the way, she was a computer whiz. I'm adding this, and she played the piano. She was my pianist. He had opposition, and he overcame it. I love this old song, "Christ received with sinful men, even me with all my sin. Purged from every spot and stain, heaven with Him I enter in." Sing it over and over again. "Christ received with sinful men." Make the message clear and plain. "Christ receiveth sinful men." The first message I ever preached in my life, I took my text, and I'll tell you about it, I probably already have. And the Pharisees, the scribes, murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That was my text, my first message I ever preached. And my pastor asked me to preach on a Wednesday night, and I studied all week, I prayed all week. I got there on Wednesday night, and going to preach, and I got up and I preached, and folks, I preached, and I preached, and I preached, and I just kept on preaching. I thought everybody was going crazy, and I just kept on preaching. I mean, I preached everything I knew from Genesis to Revelation, and when I got through preaching, I sat down and I preached 7 minutes. They wanted to call me as their pastor, but they. Listen, people don't get mad at you for preaching short message, they get mad if you preach too long a message. So I tell young preachers, preach, don't preach so long. They won't get mad if you don't preach too long, because get them back and you preach to them again. But if you preach so long, they might say, I can't handle all that every time. So I learned not to preach too long. Shorty had an offer and he received it. You know, on July the 17th, I'd been in the church and I'd been studying for a couple hours. I came out, I got in my car and sat down, and bang, just like that, I went blind in that eye. Now, if I had something I could restore eyesight to people that I would never share, that wouldn't be right, would it? If you had something to say, preacher, I know what you do and get your eyesight back, and you wouldn't tell me, that wouldn't be right, would it? And it's not right for us who know how to be saved and not tell others how to be saved. It's just not right. He had an offer, he received it. Shorty got saved. He put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved. John 1:11 says, he came in his own received him not, but as many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Salvation is not complicated. It's simple. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what's the problem with people? They don't want to do what they should do to get saved. They're not willing to come in themselves and admit their sinner and turn from that and turn to Christ. Yesterday, I talked to a young lady. Matter of fact, I went to a restaurant. One of the guys, Brother Santos and I were out visiting. So we had, you always go eat. You know, you got to go eat sometime. So we go to this restaurant we go to sometimes. The lady, one of the waitresses sitting out there smoking. And when we got back in, we ate and got ready to leave. I said, I called her name. I said, listen, you need to quit smoking. She said, I know it. I said, let me tell you why. I'll give you the reasons. Number one, it's expensive. Number two, it'll kill you. Folks, my wife never smoked a cigarette in her life, but she lived in a smoke. And my wife might be still living if she hadn't been raised, and her brother might be also. But she died because of secondhand smoke, and her lungs, the doctor in Charleston told us before she died, said, your lung looks like a heavy, heavy, heavy smoker. It'll kill you. And I told her that. But you know what she said? And I said, it's going to shorten your life. She said, I know that. She said, I know that. But she said, I love them things. And I remind her what your brother said to me one time, Brother Harold. He had a brother, Ted. I said, Ted, he smoked, and I love Ted. I said, Ted, you need to quit smoking. And he called me Brother Lewis. He said, Brother Lewis? He said, I would, but I love them little boogers. And some people would get saved, but you love your sinful lifestyle. You don't want to change. You don't want to turn from it. I did not know the word repentance, and I never heard the word repentance, but I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I repented. I turned from my way. I got tired of partying. I got tired of drinking. I got tired of being drunk. I got tired of wasting my money. I got tired of living like that. And I came to the end of myself, and I said, I don't want to go on like that. I need help. I needed help. And I don't know why, but I told my mom, I said, Mom, please wake me up when I want to go to church. And I went to church. I heard a message. I got under conviction. I walked down the aisle.
They dismissed the crowd, took me back to the room the pastor did, and took me, and he took me down those Romans Road, which I didn't know a verse in the Bible. He showed me how to be saved, and said to me, when he finished reading the verse, he said, "Listen, if you'll ask the Lord to save you, He will." And I was so dumb, I didn't know how to pray. I never prayed, I don't guess, because I said, "Preacher, I don't know how to pray." He said, "I'll lead you if you mean it." He led me to prayer, and I meant it. Walked out that door, that church door that day, I was a new man, I promise you. I didn't know what had happened, but something had happened to me. God had saved this whole soul. You don't have to know a whole lot to be saved, because if that'd be true, I would have died and gone to hell. I didn't know John 3:16 at age of 21. I did not know John 3:16, I promise you. I did not know how to pray. But I got tired of my sin, and I got to Christ. Somebody told me about Christ. I got saved. My life was changed. Amen. He had an offer, and he accepted it. Heard an old preacher last Sunday, old Brother Harden, said, 87 years old, said, "I went to revival meeting. Young boy, 14. So I didn't. Parents didn't go to church. But I went and I said, I was sitting up in the choir. I said, God got a hold of me. And I knew I needed to do something. I didn't know what to do, said. Gave invitations. Said, I just went down and settled. Is it beach now? I just went down and settled on the beach. And I said, nobody talked to me. Nobody did anything. He said, I just prayed and God saved me. Let me tell you something. Oh, I know how we think. I know how I used to think as a young person. Oh, I got plenty of time. Really? Oh, I'll do it later. I hear folks say some of the dumbest things. I'll do it right before I die. Now, how do you know when you're going to die? That sounds like something I might have said. You don't know when you're going to die. Surely got saved. Getting saved is the greatest thing in all the world. Man, I've had some great experiences in life, but there's nothing like that day. Nothing like that day. I remember when I was in high school, I pitched a little baseball. I wasn't any good, but I had a curveball and I could strike a few out. And I remember walking off that diamond one day, the coach handed me that ball. We'd won the game. Thank you, coach. I remember my dad and I used to go bass fishing all the time, and it was over on Lake Wiley. And one day I was 14 years of age, and I caught a 9-pound bass. I got him in weight, but I knew what he weighed, 9 pounds. That was exciting. I was so excited, I was sneaking around smoking, and then at 14 I said, "Dad, give me a cigarette." He was so excited, he gave me one. That's the truth. We just smoked together that day and celebrated that 9-pound bass, you know. Listen, he had an offer, and he received it. He got saved. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm just glad I know that I'm saved. I don't have any doubt. You say, "Well, you know, oh yes, I know that I know. You say, "How do you know?" He came in my life. He changed me. Last thing, he was saved. He showed it. Oh, look. Look at Luke 19 there. Are you with me? Look what he did. Little Shorty. I call him Shorty, and I'm not being... he's just a man, you know, Shorty. Zacchaeus is Shorty. Look it with me at verse number 8. Zacchaeus, when he came down in verse 6, the made haste, came down and received him joyfully. He was excited. And then verse 8 said, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, to have my goods... I give the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, he had a change in his life. Gave half what he weighed and willing to make restoration. I can still remember, I was born and raised in Blacksburg, where Brother Harold lives. And this guy had a little service station, a Gulf station in town. And he made me mad, and I owed him some money for some gas. That's when gas was 29 cents a gallon.
I guess I probably owed him $5. But he done made me mad, and I said, I'll never pay him. Some of y'all done that. Don't be too pious looking at me now. I'll never pay him. He did me wrong. But let me tell you what, after December 23rd, 1962, something happened to me, and something changed me. And sometime between that, it wasn't too long after that, I went by and said, I owe you some money, and I want to pay you. I got it right.
Let me tell you something. Here's how do you know that you're saved? And I could give you a number of Bible reasons, and I would encourage you, if you have problems doubting your salvation sometimes, go to 1 John, read that, and just mark your verses that God gives you that assurance. But I can tell you one of the best ways you can know if you're saved or not, do you have a changed life? And one of the things, too, you can know once you get saved, there won't be no doubt about it. Let me ask you this. Was there a time in your life when you knew God came in your life? You see, when you get saved, God, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in your body. That's what makes the difference. Your old nature doesn't get any better. It's God's nature within you.
And He'll help you to live for Christ.
I was that changed life. What you say, how will you change? Well, before I got saved, I was drinking and cussing and smoking and, well, a lot more things I ain't going to tell you about. All those things.
Once I got saved, I wanted to go to church. Once I got saved, I wanted to read my Bible. Once I got saved, I wanted to tell others what Christ had done for me.
All these things have changed.
I'm sure your pastor done the same thing. I had a guy come to church one Sunday and raise his hand. He was lost. And he get saved that day. On Thursday night, one of the men, we went by his house, talked to him, tried to win the Lord. And I said, Mitch, I know you raised your hand and I know you need to be saved. I know you probably want to be saved. I said, wouldn't you like to just go ahead and get saved tonight? Here's what he said to me. He said, Preacher, after I'd read some scripture, he said, Preacher, a fool would be a man would be a fool not do that, wouldn't he? I said, Yes, sir. Don't play with your soul. Don't play with your soul. You're going to die one of these days. You need to make sure when you die, you're not going to hell. It's not a purgatory. Now, there's only two places people go. If you die and you trust Christ, you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. If you've never done that, you're going to go to hell. That's just the way it is. That's what the Bible says. So don't go to hell. I want you to go to heaven, okay?